This podcast is a Uniting Heart and Soul production. Hello and welcome to Filthy Hope, a podcast from Uniting Heart and Soul in Wallara, all about choosing faith and hope in the middle of the mess and the filth of the world. The ministry here at Uniting Heart and Soul is one built on a declaration of radical honesty, something that we're going to try to embody as we have conversations about God, faith, life, and religion, but also the grey spaces where those things intersect. This means that you might hear some language you're not used to hearing from a minister, but it also means that we're going to be talking about some potentially confronting subject matter, quite frankly and honestly. So we do recommend that you hold off from listening around little ones. I'm your host, Jonty, and this week on the podcast, we have another very special guest. Graham Long joins us to talk about poverty and the places he has found God amidst his work over the years at Wayside. Next week, we're going to be closing out our first series called Where the Fuck is God? With a discussion about climate catastrophe through the lens of the film First Reformed. More about that at the end of the episode, but for now, enjoy our discussion with Graham Long. Okay, welcome to Filthy Hope, everyone. Ness, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you going this week?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm super excited about this week because we've got Reverend Graham Long. Graham is the what we call the grandfather of Wayside, and he set up Wayside and did the most wonderful transformative work with them, which has put them in the most beautiful position for Reverend John Owens to now step into that CEO leadership role there. And Graham, though, I wanted to ask him the question, where the fuck is God, in the stories that he had seen on the streets in his years at Wayside. And his interview will be amazing. So I'm looking forward to that. We're going to cut to a Zoom shortly. It's amazing.
Sounds great.
But before we do that, Jonty, it's your turn to give us a dose of Vent Central. I'm going to ask Graham to do a gratitude for us.
Yeah.
So can you give me a Vent Central? What's been grinding your gears this week?
Well, not just this week, but over the last, over 2 years now.
Oh, wow, man. Get it off your chest.
Mask wearing. It's not a new thing. Right? We've all had to be wearing masks.
Oh, masks.
On and off. Yeah. Are you thinking
pandemic,
like...
Pandemic. I'm thinking, is he talking the Avengers? Is he... I wasn't sure where you were going. Yes.
Yeah. It's just something that we all have to do.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's... You just deal with it. It's not that much of an issue. The thing that really shits me, though... is and at the time we're recording, masks are sort of less and less important now. There's no mandates. There are some places where it's recommended, but
yeah,
it's
medical kind of places.
So
personal choice now.
Totally. So it's chilled out a little bit, but this thing that I'm about to rant about still annoys me, and I still see it. It's the people when they do wear a mask, have it tucked under their nose.
Oh, mate.
And I just want to say in the moment when I walk past someone that's got their mask on but not covering their nose, like, you do realize you may as well just take it off.
Mm.
Like, it's just this... And apologies if you're one of these people listening, but, like, you're an idiot. Put your mask on or take it off.
Why do you think they do it? What's the deal?
I think it's because wearing a mask makes it really difficult to breathe.
Yes, and do you think they're having trouble?
Yeah. It's almost like, I don't know. Doctors and medical, like my mum, have to wear medical grade face masks all day.
But they seem to survive.
The little cloth ones when you just offer at the shops, they're really difficult to wear.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, my heart just goes out to them. It's the same people that take their mask off in the shopping centre to sneeze because they'll sneeze on the inside of the mask. It's like, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. I'm sorry, but you're an idiot.
Oh, it's full on. The world's full of them, Jonty.
Yeah. And it's not even like the choice to wear a mask or not. I don't care. But it's like, if you're going to wear it, wear it. You may as well take it off. You may as well, like, I don't know why it annoys me so much, but it does. it's almost like this, like, I don't care if you wear a mask or if you don't wear a mask. I'm probably going to avoid you anyway. But if you're going to wear it, put it on your fucking face and don't tuck it under your nose. Like...
I'll put it on when you're about to cough.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It just gives me the shits.
I think it gives a lot of us the shits, Jonty.
Yeah.
It was a good one. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, we're going to cut now to the Zoom with Graham Long.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
See you there.
Hey, Graham, thank you so much for joining us today on the Filthy Hope podcast. It's just an absolute delight.
It's nice of you to talk to an old retired old man.
Retired old kick-ass man, can I say? For our listeners and viewers that don't know who you are, Graham, you're a dear friend of mine, but you have been the CEO of Wayside up at King's Cross. You turned that completely around for the Uniting Church, and now you've retired, but you've maintained this role as the grandfather of Wayside and worked very closely with the beautiful Reverend John Owens up there. So today I wanted to talk to you about your time at Wayside. And Graham, you would have seen where life hits the road in a really rugged way. And our series is at the moment, Where the Fuck is God? And I was wondering, could you share some stories about where the fuck was God in some scenarios that you have actually seen in Wayside in regards to homelessness and poverty and drug addiction and suicide and bikies? I know some of your stories and they are just off the charts scary. And to be a minister in that space was an absolute calling and a gift. And you have been a gift to the world by being exactly who you are. And I just wondered if you'd share that with us today.
Well, I count myself as lucky, way beyond average lucky, because if you're going to ask this question about God, you're far less likely to make progress with that question in normal, comfortable society than you are in the world in which I lived. So I think your phrase was, I forget now what you said, but the rough end of the pineapple was, well, that was daily for me. It was every day. It was somebody's worst day of their life.
Yeah.
And you've got to ask yourself some to degree about how authentic the question is.
Yeah.
Because, for example, if we were to have organize a prayer meeting in Ukraine right now.
Yeah.
That event would be a very authentic thing, whether you were actually with your eyes closed saying, oh, God, help us, or whether you were just bringing your neighbours into your house because theirs was bombed, it would be a very authentic engagement with this question of where's ultimate meaning. Yeah. So it seems to me that in normal, comfortable life, that becomes a kind of a philosophical, over a cup of coffee kind of interesting discussion, whereas at Wayside, it's desperate, it's real, it's am I going to get through today kind of thing. And so people who do it very, very tough, in my view, are way more familiar with that question than people who are comfortable. So, I can keep you for the rest of the day telling you stories, but I once walked into Wayside and there was a lady who had been belted, and clearly this eye socket had been fractured and so the face had swollen up. And I walked in and I said to her, I knew her by sight. I said, honey, why are you not in hospital?
Yeah.
She said, well, I've come here so that you can pray for my face. And I said, how about we get you to hospital and I'll go to the hospital and pray for you there? But, a lot of people used to treat Wayside as where you go prior to emergency. Wow. So anyway, I agreed to pray with her. And so I put my hand gently over this terrible face. Mm-hmm. And I prayed Isaiah 43, fear not, I am with you. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, I'll not sweep you away. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and you are precious and honoured in my sight, and I love you. And I said, okay, now ambulance.
And she, hello.
Yeah. She said, no, before you do that, what about this? And she pulled her blouse back and she had an open stab wound in her back.
God. God.
Like it was a big open stab wound. And I said to her, no more bloody prayers, ambulance, and I'll come and see you in the hospital. So as I'm, the ambulance came in no time. And when, as I was walking her to the ambulance, she said, I just wanted to make sure I had a soul before they fixed my body.
Oh, Graham, wow. That's extraordinary.
And it's real, isn't it?
It's real. It's the spiky end, absolutely. Yeah, I remember a situation. I was actually at Wayside. I'd started working as the minister at MLC and I was looking for a church to attend, and I came to your church at Wayside and you were presiding over communion on this Sunday. And I'll never forget it. And I've told the story many times because I was blown away. I was a brand new rev and I'm looking at you as a role model to get gleam ways to be a minister and just to kind of copy you in a way and emulate your style. And you're in the middle of communion. You've got your stole on. It's all really beautiful. And you've got the stale piece of bread on the beautiful plate. And you start with this liturgy. And I'm watching intently as the new rev. How's he going to do it? Then all of a sudden, this beautiful Aboriginal man appears with a backpack on, looking really disheveled and lost and all the bits. And he walks down. And you are continuing with your liturgy. Then all of a sudden, he reaches to the back of the backpack and pulls out what looks like a metal pole. And I shit myself because I think he's going to strike you in the head. And I clutch my husband and I say, fuck, what are we going to do? And in that moment, he pulls it out. You are not panicked on any level. And I'm sitting there, I'm praying my ass off, at phone in one hand to call the cops if I need to. And he lays this metal pole, which I realise is a insert of a freaking vacuum cleaner, up there onto your altar and starts playing the vacuum like it's the didge. And you just stay fully present to this man in this holy, reverend moment, and I just clutched my chest and sobbed. It was just far out, Graham. I think it was one of my most favourite moments of communion that I'll probably ever witness.
I was doing communion once and an Aboriginal man with very dark skin, so if he wasn't full blood, he was close. And he came, his home, his people were from the very northern tip of Australia. And he was constantly drunk. I never saw him that he wasn't blind.
Yeah.
24 hours, just constantly drunk. And we had a guitar sitting in the church and he said, can I play you a song? And I went, okay, I think you're going to do it anyway, so all right. So he took ages tuning this guitar and it was way more out of tune than when he picked it up.
Yeah.
And then he said, I'd like to dedicate this song to Helen, who's a white woman I just rooted.
Is this in the middle of church?
Yeah. Yes. So you know, I thought that was the best introduction to a song in church I've ever heard in my life. And then he sang in his own tongue, let us break bread together on our knees. In his own tongue, and then he sang it in English.
Oh,
and
wow.
There wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Yeah.
So that kind of hilarious, sacred thing actually goes together.
Doesn't it? Yeah. God is so in that moment. What are you thinking in those moments? I've sat in church also, and there was a lovely woman, and I can't remember the precious name you called her, but she used to yell out all the time.
I called her Saint Interruptus.
Saint Interruptus, that's her. Yeah. And I know she passed away before you left Wayside. But she would interrupt all the time. And it reminded me of my days at Dirty Dick's in musical theatre when people would throw food at us and yell obscenities. It's God. You do God in action in such an extravagant way in those moments. What are you thinking in those moments?
Well, if I'd have been harsh managing her, I would have denied our mission. So, I you know, her contribution has to be welcomed. And sometimes she was very difficult, and other times she was the voice of God. And a lot of the time she was just funny.
Yes.
So I tried to keep sermons very short. I aimed for about 7 minutes, and sometimes I'd go a bit over, but not a lot over. Anyway, I said one day, oh, gosh, I'm a little bit over time. I better get a wriggle on. I don't want to bore you. And she said, Boris, that's your job.
She was a crack-up, wasn't she, rest her soul? She
was just an adorable little lady with the roughest story, and she was a gift to us. Beautiful girl, beautiful lady.
Yeah, she was, and you were such the right minister for her at that point in her life. It was just beautiful to watch that relationship, actually.
Graham, yeah, we became a double act, I think.
Yeah, a bit of a double act, that's right. Yeah. What about, you must have seen death on the streets of the cross and those really horrendous moments. Where is God in that? Where have you seen God in those moments, Graham?
To pose the question as if that would be difficult is to misunderstand the gospel, I think. I mean, where else would you expect to see God but there? Especially in this season of Easter. You know, we keep trying to make God powerful, and he keeps trying to disarm us. You know, it's Good Friday tomorrow, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
And you'll see a man who has no, he's ticking no boxes in social etiquette at all, and who is rejected and unfairly brutalized, and you ask, where's God? Well, look again.
Yeah.
This is precisely where God is. I remember as a in my social work days, you know, I did fairly well in my studies, and I thought I was the cleverest bloke that ever lived, until I actually started doing the work. And then I soon found out that I knew nothing. But there was a lady once who had 7 kids, and she wanted to escape this brutal husband, and it got to the point where she feared for the life of the children, and that's why she wanted to escape. So I made a plan to help her escape. And on a day that we knew he would be away, I arrived in a government car. This was before anybody really worried about seatbelts and stuff. Yeah. And I was going to put all 7 kids in this car and with the lady and nick off. I'd arranged a place to hide her. Well, the day came and there was only 5 kids. He'd taken 2 with him. So she decided we'd go with the 5 and perhaps come back with police later and get the last 2. And he came home, realised that she'd gone and left him, and to spite her, he took the 5-year-old daughter, who was the wife's favourite, and put her in a bag and weighted it and just lowered it down to the bottom of the Murray River and killed her. And I was a young man and naive, and I thought, I understood Freud and I understood existentialism and I understood stuff, and I thought I knew stuff. And when this kid was lowered down to the bottom of the river, that's when you ask, where's God? And it took me years to answer that question. It troubled me deeply. Until I read a book by Moltmann, and I was in college, where you sort of have the freedom to ask any question you like for a while. And I suddenly, it struck me that God was in the bag.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's the message of Good Friday. Where's God when the innocent are suffering? And the answer is in the innocent suffering.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've learned more from all the wrong people than I ever learned from all the PhDs in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the wrong people who teach me. And I could talk to you for the rest of the day about that. And I don't know, have I gone too long? Do you want me to stop?
No, it's interesting. God is in the bag. It's the first time I've heard somebody describe trauma like that, because I describe my own sexual abuse at some of the worst moments where when I was being anally raped, and I've wondered where God was. Where was God in that moment as a 7-year-old? And God was right there with me, because I didn't die is what I feel. I didn't die. I survived, and I am thriving despite that. So God was there with me in that moment.
I was talking to a lady who was abused in the same way as a little girl by her father. And she copped it every morning and every night, because her mother worked shift work, and depending on what the shift was she copped it from her father. And he used to take it to, there was a railway line, I won't tell you where, because I don't want to identify anything, but there was this railway line. And he used to take her there. There wasn't too many houses, and if the mother was home, they'd go to the railway line. And she said, all I could see was Dad's, this girl's never been to church in her life. Mm-hmm. She said, all I could see was the door of the car while Dad was doing the business, and a window. And she said, I used to always pray that if there was a God, he would make a train come off the track and run the car over. Oh. And she said, I would pray this pretty much every time it happened. And she said it was happening once when it was raining, and she said one day it just suddenly struck me that these raindrops coming down the window were God's tears for me.
Amen.
Well, find that in a theological text somewhere. You know, this was a woman who, if you want to know about God, I think I'd take you to her, not to any of great theologians that I know.
Amen, Graham. I just think, while I asked you the question, where the fuck is God in your work at Wayside, I knew the answer. I knew the answer. It's in everything that you have done, and how you did your work and your passion and the mission. Up there, you were being the hands and feet of Christ in and through that community, and Wayside continues to operate in the same magnificent way because of the work that you set up. So we are so grateful for you, and I am so grateful for this time today for you to share those stories. And if anybody is listening or watching today and any of this has triggered you in any way, please reach out to Lifeline or get in touch with your doctor, and please seek help. Graham, thank you for today. But before we wrap up, I'm wondering if one of our segments every time we end our podcast is called Grititude. It's where the grit of life and the gratitude of things that happen in life come together, and we made that word up. I'll probably get into loads of trouble for that. Tell me, can you share about gratitude for us today as we wrap?
I guess I, you know, I've just gone through this life change of actually retiring, and it's a radical change. Let me tell you, extracting yourself from one community and seeking to build into a new one is, don't ever think that's a simple task. That is a tough task. Mm. It takes a strong act of the will and a lot of patience. And so we're in a funny spot right now, where it's sort of in no man's land for a little while. You know, we're outside of our tribe and wondering where we'll fit in this new place. There's lots of positives, but that's going on as well. So it's funny. I'm left wondering who are my lifelong friends of this tribe? Who of them are my lifelong friends? And it's interesting that nearly all the people that I count as lifelong are people who I met as homeless or...
Wow.
Or they're my friends.
Wow.
So they were never... They're not clients. They're not congregants. They're lifelong friends.
Mm.
And these are my brothers and sisters.
I love that.
So that to me says lots of things, but one of them is the vision that I was working towards, my mission, was never about charity. Mm. It was never about helping these poor people because, I'm as poor as they are.
Mm.
And so I have some lifelong friends, and nearly all of them are people who I met as homeless people.
Yeah, wow. Incredible. Yeah, that's, and you're grateful for that, of course.
Okay. Very. It's good people. They're good friends.
Yeah. Well, I know that you are a treasured part of Sydney Presbytery and a treasured part of the Uniting Church community. And we see you as as a lifelong friend. We love you so much. And we're so grateful for you. I'm particularly grateful for you for so many ways. And you are one of those dudes that just paved the road for a minister like me. And I am beyond grateful for who you are in ministry. Graham Long, you
don't wrap it up too thick.
No, you're fucking awesome, man. You just are. I love you.
It's so not true, but anyway, I've got fooled to some extent, which is good.
Thanks for joining us today, Graham. You're the best.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed listening to that discussion. As mentioned at the top of the podcast, next week will be our final episode in this first season of the podcast. But don't worry, we have no plans to stop anytime soon. After next week's episode, we're going to be switching gears straight away to talk about intimacy and sexuality and the complexity inherent in so many different facets of sexuality that we rarely talk about in the church. But next week, we're going to be rounding out our first season by talking about climate catastrophe through a discussion about the film First Reformed. While you by no means need to have seen the film to understand our discussion, we will be spoiling the film in its entirety, right up to and including its final frame. At the time of recording, the film is available to rent on iTunes and Amazon Prime. And whether you plan on watching the film or not, we'll see you next week for the last episode of Season 1 of the podcast. We also love hearing from you, so feel free to leave a review or comment wherever you listen to the podcast, or get in touch directly. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook, and if you want to interact with us even more directly, you can join our private Facebook discussion group. The link for that is in the description and the show notes. And finally, you can email us at filthyhopepod@gmail.com. We hope to do a mailbag episode at some point in the near future where we will read out and respond to any and all messages we've received. And we have heard your requests for an email address to make this easier. So feel free to send us your questions, your stories, your vent centrals, whatever it is that you want to write to us. Once again, that email address is filthyhopepod@gmail.com. We'll see you next week for our discussion about First Reformed and climate catastrophe. This podcast is a Uniting Heart and Soul production.